Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard, FanRag Sports, NDT Scouting, Pro Football Weekly, along with Trevor Sikkema from PewterReport.com covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, sweating through a close Tampa Bay Lightning game as we currently record. I cannot relate as the Penguins are up 4-0 on the Philadelphia Flyers / Cincinnati Bengals of the NHL. Trev, how are you today?
Yeah, I'm like tentatively not paying attention to this podcast, so if I zone out, so like it's all you, bud.
So like normal.
Yeah, actually, yeah. Okay. That's, you know, the fans will be used to that.
Right, exactly. It'll sound the same. Mark Schofield of Inside the Pylon, Pro Football Weekly, Locked On Patriots, one of our good friends and colleagues and one of the most knowledgeable football people that either of us know, I'm speaking for you, Trevor, is on the podcast with us. Mark, thanks so much for joining us, man. Really appreciate you taking the time.
John, Trev, always great to be with you guys. And yeah, Trev, we were saying this before the show. We get like one more week to be friends until that Bruins, Lightning series kicks off.
That's going to be, I'm going to have to block you from the DM group that we got. So,
I mean, that's fine. I understand. That's playoff hockey season. That's what happens.
Well, let's just see how this Lightning series goes, because I'm not, it's 2-1, and right now it's 2-1 in the game. And so,
look,
things are tight.
John, we get it. No matter what happens, whichever team advances is going to get destroyed by Pittsburgh. We get it.
Dude, it's not.
It's hard
it's
to
not
repeat.
Penguins have like the easiest road, the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah. Who do they play there? They play the Caps.
They're going to play the Capitals or the
Jackets are on fire Blue right Jets. Now though. Jackets are playing real well. Penguins swept them in the regular season.
I can only hope.
There you go.
Anyway, you didn't come here for the hockey, although you could have, because we're that knowledgeable about
locked on hockey
sports. Yeah, locked on hockey. We could be launching it.
Just the whole sport. Yeah, not a team. Hockey. Just the whole sport.
No, we could cover the KHL, everything,
Oh, goodness. We could do it. We are multi-talented like that, but we got to focus on the Patriots, picking number 23 overall after the Cooks trade to the Rams. They've got an extra first-round pick. Mark Schofield, the board has, I'm not going to read all these names because at this point, people just got to accept the fact that there's a lot of guys off the board. And if you're wondering, by the way, who's off the board, go over to LockedOnNFLDraft.com, and I've posted the results so far for you guys to follow along if you're looking for it, to get it down on paper. But the main thing to know is the Patriots are invested in looking for a quarterback. The top five quarterbacks, meaning Darnold, Rosen, Allen, Mayfield, and Jackson, are all off the board at this point. Does Mason Rudolph tickle your fancy, Mark? And how upset are you that we can't do trades in this mock draft simulation?
I mean, yes, I'm very upset that we can't do trades right now, because I was expecting to be able to come on here and give somebody 23, 31, next year's one, the year after that's one, maybe another two, whatever it takes to go get Josh Rosen. But you're not letting me do that, so okay, I guess I'll have to just move on with my life.
We would stop the Patriots in real life if we could keep them from doing that too.
We might have to do that anyway, because it's going to happen, but be that as it may. Yeah, I mean, you do think about a Mason Rudolph here, but I do sort of wonder about Rudolph's ceiling. I mean, I think he's got a nice floor, but I'm not so sure he's got the ceiling that justifies the 23rd overall pick. I will say that if this ends up being the board that the Patriots find in front of them at 23, it sets up perfectly for them, because, you miss out on the top five quarterbacks, and okay, but we always are sort of expecting them to go with Kyle Lauletta later in the draft anyway, so no big loss there, I guess. But you can address corners. I mean, we get three great corners on the board right now. They could go in that direction. You've got, if you want to go linebacker, you've got Rashawn Evans on the board. If you want to go edge, you can go with Marcus Davenport, who I know, probably he got a lot of top 10 buzz. That's probably too high for him. But if you want to get like a toolsy edge type guy that has some raw talent to him at 23 and let Bill Belichick sort of mold him, you could do that. I mean, you could go, if you're worried about Gronk, no tight ends are off the board yet, so you could go in that direction. So there's a bunch of options, but when it comes down to it, if the board looks like this, you got to protect Tom Brady. Connor Williams is sitting there at 23. It's not the exciting pick, but you got to protect number 12 for as long as he's out there. So that's the direction we're going to go. We're going to go safe. We're going to take perhaps one of the better offensive linemen in this class. We're going to hopefully address that pick before the board starts to fall off. We'll go Connor Williams, protect TB12 for a couple more seasons.
All right, so I mean, you have the two picks, obviously, to kind of deal with here. And Connor Williams, the guy that you're taking at 23, which makes sense. But do you think the Patriots, now, not just you and your mindset, but what about do you think the Patriots are prioritizing maybe a certain amount of those needs that you just named more than the other? Like, are some of them more 23 targets and not the one that's later in the first round? Or do you think it really is almost just like a free for all, whichever best player is available. If they, and it, obviously in a situation where we can't do trades, do you think it's wide open like that? Or do you think they might be leaning one way or the other towards a positional importance here on the earlier first round pick they have?
It's a good question. I think it's going to be more wide open, you know, because, you know, they could theoretically wait on a number of these positions because, you know, you look at offensive tackle, you know, they've got Waddle coming back. They've got Cannon coming back. They're getting Antonio Garcia back after his collapsed lung. So they could decide that, look, you know, we don't like the way the board looks right now. We're going to wait and get more of a developmental type tackle and let Dante work his magic. We've all heard the sort of Colton Miller rumors. I'm really not on board with Colton Miller at 23 or even really at 31. I'm more comfortable with him sort of in the second round. So they could go that route. They could go even later with, you know, guys that I know you guys don't like that much, but like a Brian O'Neill or an Alex Kappa later in the draft. You know, they could go linebacker here. You know, that's a position I think of need. You know, that's why I threw out Evans. I think they got to get more athletic at the second level. But again, they could wait. You know, they could go with a Fred Warner type a little bit later in the draft. A guy I know, you know, John, you like there a you lot. You know, I like that idea too. So I really think it's going to be a position, Travin. You know, however the board falls, they're just going to identify what they feel is the best player, regardless of position, and address it that way. I mean, they have some needs, sure, but they're getting guys back. I mean, even at the linebacker spots, you know, they're getting Dante Hightower back. And so they're going to have some ability there. At the edge, they're getting Derek Rivers back, who they lost last year as well. So, I mean, they're getting guys back, so they're going to have some versatility there. So they can do some different things and go in a number of different directions depending on how the board falls to them.
I know that Fred Warner is going to be a New England Patriot because Derek Rivers was my guy in last year's class. And he fell to the third round, and the Patriots took him. And I know it's going to happen with Fred Warner, and he's the exact type of player that they really like too. You know, already has drawn similarities to like a better version of Cal Van Noy. He yep. played on the edge some. He played off the ball. He played like a big slot role. Those hybrid type of guys. I mean, he's everything the Patriots, you know, dream about at the position, I think. So I'm preparing myself emotionally to root for him in a New England Patriots uniform, as I am with Derek Rivers, as you mentioned, guys coming back this year for the Patriots. So pass rush was the big thing, Mark. I know we're going to get to the offensive line and talking about that, but pass rush was the big thing last year. Everybody said, you know, the Patriots, they just didn't get to the quarterback. They don't have guys that can win 1v1. They got James Harrison late in the season. I mean, he did some things early on, but eventually it wasn't really the impact that they needed. Trey Flowers has done some good things. He's obviously been their best rusher. You know, he does some good things as an inside pass rusher that can brush outside too. They don't really have a speed bend type of guy. I think they're hoping Rivers can be that guy coming off the injury. He'll be a second-year rookie, really. Dietrich Wise flashed again. Not really a speed bend type of rusher, but a guy that maybe could be at his best inside or head-up type of rusher. And Adrian Claiborne, another one of those guys that can kick around, but did they do enough? Is this enough in the pass rush group for you to feel comfortable going into the season about where the Patriots are at? Or do you feel like it should be one of the priorities with their top couple picks?
I mean, I think they got to address it early because it's one of those things, guys, you can never have enough pass rush. I mean, right. You're going to have injuries. You're going to have guys that fall, you know, out of the lineup. And you've got to be able to sort of mix and match up front as well. I mean, the ability for some teams like the Eagles last year to have three potential edge rushers on the field, kick a guy like Brandon Graham inside. I mean, we saw how Super Bowl 52 ended. You know, it was Brandon Graham kicked inside against Shaq Mason working against a guard. Mm-hmm. So you want to have as many pass rushers as you can. And yeah, they added some nice pieces, you know. You know, Dietrich Wise, like you said, did some nice things. They used him in the stunt game a lot and had some success with it. You know, they add Claiborne, who owes that backup right tackle for the Cowboys probably his entire, you know, roster bonus for next year because that helped him get this contract. They do add Danny Shelton to occupy some space inside to put him, you know, with Malcolm Brown. Trey Flowers does some nice things. Marquise Flowers, an athletic linebacker type. Getting Hightower back is also key for that pass rush because, you know, near the end of his career here, they've basically been using him as an edge rusher and blitzer type guy. So they've been relying on him for the pass rush stuff and letting Landon Roberts sort of play middle linebacker for them. So, yeah, they've got some pieces and they can do some stuff with and move guys around, but I still think they want to add one more guy to this mix and try to get an athletic type if they can. You know, if they can't, they'll roll with what they've got. That's the way they've typically done things, but I'm sure it'd be a luxury they'd like to have.
Now, I know we're not doing trades in this mock, so it's a little bit different. But, you know, we obviously want to give the listeners and everybody the insight into what might actually happen, too, not just what we kind of think should happen. So rumors kind of flying all over the place about Josh Rosen possibly being a guy that the Patriots are going to move up for. There's been talk about him dropping in the draft, which, John and I for sure think is crazy because he's both of our QB1s. Mm-hmm. that he would be dropping to a level where the Patriots could possibly move up to get him. But, you know, we were talking about this a little bit before the show, kind of chit-chatting about it. What would honestly be the price for the Patriots to move up? Like, are there a couple of targets? Obviously, number four is potentially available. I've talked about the Bucs possibly wanting to trade back at number seven. There's a couple teams near the end of the top 10 as well. What do you think are some realistic spots for the Patriots to possibly move up? I mean, they got five picks in the top 100, so they got the ammunition. What do you think are some of the spots? And then two, what do you think it'll take to move up to each of these spots? Are they going to have to dip into next year's draft class at all to move up?
I mean, I think you'd have to dip into next year's class to move up. I mean, you know, with the caveat being dependent on how high you try to get into the draft. Now, you know, that, you know, trade value chart, again, it's not the sort of be all and end all of things. But if you sort of look at that just, you know, in a vacuum, what they've got at 23 and 31 basically gets you to nine, you know, and you kind of, you got to at least, I think, get ahead of Miami at 11. You know, because I think if Rosen falls, I don't think Rosen falls past 11. So I think you got to get at least up to there. Now, with the fact that, you know, if you're coming up, it's going to be for a quarterback, that usually skews things. So you're going to have to throw something in. Now, you know, first round picks in next year's draft are usually, you reduce a round value on them when you're sort of doing the calculus. So it's basically equivalent to a second in this year's draft. So does New England send that, you know, if they try to get to nine, do they send 43 back to San Francisco, give them their second round pick back? You know, does 43, you know, 23 and 31, does that do it? Or do you have to kick in some more? You might have to. But if Josh Rosen somehow gets to nine, I got to think New England, you know, it's a lot to give up, especially when, and this is sort of the decision the Belichick's going to have to make. You know, you might have, you know, 2 years, let's say, of Brady left, maybe 2 years of Gronkowski left. Do you give up two first round picks and a second round pick? You know, or two firsts this year and a first next year, guys that could contribute right away and extend that sort of Brady Gronkowski window to go get Josh Rosen, knowing that he probably doesn't play those 2 years. You know, that's a tough decision to make. It's not one I'd want to make, because how do you come down on that? You know, do you really sort of shorten the Brady window to go get the next guy? And if you do, how does that sit with Brady? And let's not forget, there's so many stories right now. And I, you know, I don't want to dive into that kind of stuff, but whether Gronkowski's coming back, whether Brady's happy, whether they both want new contracts. And it's just a nightmare up in the Boston media scene right now. And so that would be a fascinating thing to see unfold. But I think if you're going to go get Rosen, I think you got to at least get to nine. You got to get ahead of Miami. And, you know, maybe a team like Tampa Bay is willing to come back. Maybe Chicago is willing to come back, so you could get up there. But you'd probably have to kick in more than just 23 and 31.
Yeah, I can tell you from just covering the Buccaneers, I think Jason Light, their GM, is a guy who would love to get some extra draft picks. He's a big guy with drafting. And so especially if Bradley Chubb and Quentin Nelson are off the board, which they probably will be. Yeah. I mean, even if Saquon is there at seven, I could see them having their phones open for a trade back.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, and you know, we talked about this again before we started. You know, if the board shakes out something comparable to where it's shaking out for you guys in this exercise, you know, Oliver, Hughes, and Alexander are all on the board right now at 23.
Right.
Now,
that's a sweet spot for Tampa Bay.
But if, yeah, Tampa Bay needs a corner, you know, you could come back and get one of those guys at 23 and then address another position at 31.
Yep.
That's kind of nice.
Perfect.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. There's a lot going on, a lot of moving parts. And the most intriguing draft in my memory, honestly, at the top, got more intriguing when the Patriots added that other first round pick and trading Brandon Cooks, because now they are suddenly players in all this chaos, and all the AFC East teams kind of clamoring to get up there. The Jets already got up there and could be the other three trying to get up. So it's just absolutely fascinating, especially with the way the East has just been completely dominated by New England. I just feel like it's a draft we'll be talking about for years to come in terms of what goes down with those teams, who comes away with what quarterbacks, and so on and so forth. So there's all that to talk about, obviously, Mark, but you know, let's get back to the offensive line. You said Connor Williams is going to be the pick, but what do you like about Connor Williams? What makes him make sense in New England? And do you feel like this is a plug-and-play type situation? Obviously, Marcus Cannon's still there, even though they lost Nate Solder. You know, you would assume, I guess, he's going to be on the right side still. Adrian Waddle, Antonio Garcia, they drafted in the third round last year. He was injured all last year. You know, there's still some uncertainty, I guess, with his health coming back. But that's really kind of where they're at, it looks like, at least from the depth chart. And do you feel like this is a situation where Williams would be able to plug in and play right away? And, you know, I know some people have thought of him as a guard. What makes him a tackle in your mind?
You know, I think when you look at him, you know, one of the things that he actually does pretty well is, you know, he sort of, and this is the way we sort of broke him down over at ITP, is he sort of fits sort of a pass heavy offense, you know, because he can, you know, work in that sort of environment. Pass protection skills are pretty good. He does struggle with like athletic edge type guys, but a lot of guys do, you know. And, you know, New England has been pretty good at getting guys help on the edges. They've had to do that with Cannon. They had to do it with Waddle when he was there in the right tackle spot. So when you have a guy like Robert Gronkowski, you can put next to a guy like that to give him some help, you know, sort of similar to what we saw from the Titans, you know, in the past couple of seasons with their rookie right tackle. You know, you get the guy a little bit of help and he can have, you know, a fantastic season as a rookie. I think he's relatively plug and play, particularly when you look at the Patriots offensive line right now. And what sort of screams Patriot to me is he's got some versatility to him. I think there's the potential he could play guard. You know, he could sort of kick inside if you need to do that. Belichick likes guys that have some positional versatility to them. And so I think if he's there at 23, I'd have to think the Patriots give him a ton of consideration.
So there it is. Connor Williams, ladies and gentlemen, and the reasoning behind the pick is a good one. And the Patriots fortify the offensive line. They get protection for Brady and perhaps the future. We don't know what will happen yet with the rest of the draft in terms of a quarterback, but there you go. The first Patriots first round pick off the board. The second one will come later on. We've got the Panthers up on the board next, but before that, Mark, thank you so much for taking the time in. We really appreciate it.
Gentlemen, John, Trevor, always a blast to be with you guys, my friends.
For sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, bud.
The Panthers will be up on the board next. Excited for that pick. Excited to keep the Inside the War Room Locked On NFL Draft mock draft rolling for you guys. Until next time, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft. Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft podcast. John Ledyard, FanRag Sports, NDT Scouting, Pro Football Weekly, along with Trevor Sycamore of PewterReport.com, who covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Trev, the Locked On NFL Draft Inside the War Room mock draft rolling on so far. We've got to go back over the picks here really quickly. But Sam Darnold goes off the board number one to the Browns. Saquon Barkley to the Giants. Josh Rosen to the Jets. Cleveland Browns take Bradley Chubb. Broncos take Quentin Nelson. Colts take Tremaine Edmonds. Bucks take Derwin James. Chicago Bears take Harold Landry. Minkah Fitzpatrick to the Niners. Denzel Ward to the Raiders. Then Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen to the Dolphins and the Bills, respectively. Darius Geis to the Redskins. Packers take Leighton Vander Esch. Cardinals get Lamar Jackson, their quarterback of the future. The Ravens take Roquan Smith. That was our pick. Chargers take Maurice Hurst. That was also our pick. Seahawks take Mike McGlinchey.
You're welcome, Ravens fans.
Yes, you are. The Cowboys take Isaiah Wynn. The Lions take Daron Payne. The Bengals take Frank Ragnow. The Bills got Calvin Ridley. The Patriots got Connor Williams. And now we are honored to be joined by Jordan Rodrigue from the Carolina Panthers beat writer from the Charlotte Observer. Jordan, thanks so much for taking the time. We really appreciate you coming on the show.
Yeah, guys, thanks for thinking of me. Big fan of you guys' work.
Well, we really appreciate that, and we're excited to hear what you have for us today for the Carolina Panthers, because this is a team that, I don't know if they surprised people by taking Christian McCaffrey in the first round last year, but they had other needs. They went with Christian McCaffrey. They come back in the second round and they take Curtis Samuel, who's kind of seen as a similarly impactful player when they had other needs. So this was a team that was hard to figure out from a draft perspective. Obviously, no Dave Gettleman now. Marty Hurnian is the GM. How do things change maybe with Herney, and where do you think he focuses given the needs, the positional needs on this Panthers, in this Panthers draft and on the roster?
Christian McCaffrey was a pick that I think gained a lot of traction in the last couple of weeks. He was funny. He was a pick that people were yelling at others for projecting him at eight back, you know, earlier in the spring. And then once he got picked, everyone's like, oh yeah, you know, that makes sense why they did that. He really kind of had to, they had to make some drastic changes to their offense, but it's also Ron Rivera, so it's not going to get too crazy. So drafting him and drafting Curtis, I think Christian was less of a surprise than following up with Curtis Samuel. I thought they might get back with their second round pick, but Marty Hurney is an interesting cat. He's been around the block before, so he, I think, it's interesting how he's removing himself from kind of doing the smokescreen thing. He's available and he's great to talk to on background, but he's not really getting into draft visits or any type of evaluations or anything like that, which is interesting because Dave Gettleman would kind of have these tells about size in offensive linemen or arm length in cornerbacks, and you could kind of weed out guys based on those criteria. But Marty, we're not really sure what his criteria and some of those guys are. We do know that he wants to get younger and faster at the skill positions. So that's pretty much what we have to go on right now. And they also, they just have a ton of needs. I mean, they have needs that are kind of, the roster looks a little bit bleaker, I think, than a lot of people think.
You talked right there about kind of getting faster at some of the skill positions. And I feel like, just because I've been doing the draft for a couple of years now, and I'm obviously doing mock drafts for different teams every year, I feel like every year I get around to the Carolina Panthers and it's like, okay, wide receiver or cornerback, like this is the year, like they're going to do something here. They're going to pick one of those guys. And I feel like I've been doing that for like 3 years. And obviously now Dave Gettleman had his draft preferences. Herney's going to have something a little bit different. Is this the year that they address one of those two positions? Could you see something like that in the first round, like a corner or a wide receiver or anything like that?
I mean, you would hope. It's like an emergency at the position right
now. That's what I'm saying. That's like the case for like 3 years. But hey, you know, they still win a game, so I guess.
They are, and I'll actually have a column about this coming out later today. They are woefully underprepared in the secondary to face NFC South quarterbacks, receivers, tight ends, and pass-catching running backs. They have the most solid front, I think, in the NFC South and perhaps across the league with, you know, the addition of Dontari Poe and Luke Kuechly backing them up and trying to contain and keeping guys in front of them. But they're not going to have Thomas Davis for the first four games. They don't have a starting corner opposite James Bradbury. Bradbury hit a wall last year and needs to develop. And they don't have a starting safety. The other guy that they have starting at safety is Mike Adams, who's great, but he just turned 37. Right. So I'm not really sure what they're expecting to accomplish with a roster like this right now. Mm-hmm. But and then that's why I really think. And then at receiver, you know, they put some nice pieces. I like the Torrey Smith addition. I really like the Jarius Wright addition. I think he's going to be clutch on third down. But you can't have a secondary that's going to essentially set the quarterback up, set Cam Newton up to have to make a comeback every single game, and then you give him a tool belt that's missing half the tools. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. Right. So I really do think they have to draft wide receiver and defensive back early. They have to get this taken care of because they haven't put a premium on it for the past 3 years. It's bit them in the butt. Wait, can I say ass on here?
Yeah, you can say it. Oh,
well,
heck yeah,
you did. So
it's bit them in the ass.
There you go.
I shook my fist as I said it too.
There you go. Jordan, I have to ask you about this linebacker position too, because even though it doesn't seem like it's one of their big needs, it's kind of something that I've been talking about a little bit on the podcast, is that we know Ron Rivera's defense revolves heavily around linebackers and what they can do. And now you have Thomas Davis suspended, and, you know, probably the last year of his career, he's getting near the end for sure. Luke Kuechly's like one hit away, you know, sadly, because he's so good, but from his career being in question. Shaq Thompson's been solid, you know, but I feel like the future at the position is also a big question mark, and we know Rivera values it. It probably won't be in the first round, but do you think linebacker is kind of a quiet need for the Panthers, or do they love the guys that they have as depth right now?
I wouldn't necessarily say it's a need per se, because the ones that they have ahead of them are so drastic. Mm-hmm. But I think that you're right about making sure they keep an eye on it, and especially with Thomas Davis being suspended for the first four games of the year. They really like Shaq Thompson as a backup and as a depth piece. They've been rotating him, as you guys know, in that big nickel package as the hybrid safety linebacker. But I think what they want to do with him is try to get him into a rhythm at traditional linebacker. So I think if we see them go for some kind of to help that position in the draft right away, I think they'll try and go for another kind of safety linebacker hybrid. I really like Shaquem Griffin for this. I'm a big Shaquem Griffin fan. I will stand for Shaquem Griffin. But I think that I just think they really want to make sure they can still use that big nickel package with all the mismatches. So I think it's less about maybe having that traditional linebacker depth than making sure that they have someone to fill in for Shaq Thompson when he is playing traditional linebacker. And then behind Kuechly, I think they like David Mayo a lot.
What's kind of the status of this O-line? Is there going to be any kind of changes coming from the offensive line that you could see either early on in the draft or later, or are they pretty set at O-line?
It's interesting because if you talk to the staff, they kind of will tout the fact that they like their depth. on the offensive line, and this is despite losing Andrew Norwell in free agency, which was a huge loss for them. Norwell kind of made the guys beside him better. Obviously, Ryan Quill is going to be maybe a Hall of Famer by himself already, but Andrew Norwell kind of helped issues that Matt Quill had, kind of spotty performance on and off at the beginning of the season, especially as he's kind of getting adjusted to the system and coming back from that injury. I think the line is an area of concern for them, but I also think that they really like depth that they have in Taylor Moten, who can guard or tackle for them. Taylor Moten's kind of breathing on the heels of Darrell Williams at right tackle because Darrell's in a contract year, so this is kind of a big year for both of them because Taylor has to step up probably at guard, and then they just brought in Jeremiah Sirlis, from Minnesota to back kind of be a depth piece, a revolving depth piece, I guess. And then I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Tyler Larson play some guard. He's a backup center. But Khalil, you know, predicts to be healthy. So I think Tyler Larson is actually probably a pretty solid guard. We saw him take some reps in practice that looked good. Ron Rivera really likes him at guard. So they have kind of a lot of revolving, rotating pieces to fill in these holes. And obviously you want kind of someone who's more consistent and you want someone to really get in and grind there, protect the quarterback and pull for the runners. But I just am not sure we're going to see day one, you know, a guy that just can be there the entire time and take all the reps. So I think they go guard and center or like a center guard hybrid in the mid rounds. I just think, you know, I saw that Frank Ragnow is off the board and you guys is mock. And obviously, I mean, I think it's a really stellar mock that you guys have assembled here with the various writers. I think it's pretty likely that it shakes up. Him off the board, I think, would really affect the Panthers' plans. If he's on the board, I think they take him. But wow. Because he's off, I think they really have to focus on other needs before the line.
That's really interesting to hear because we have talked about, yeah, you mentioned a bunch of those other needs. I would not have pegged Ragnow as I mean, it's obviously a need, but I wouldn't have thought of him that highly for them. So that's interesting to hear for sure. Okay, Jordan, so we're at the Panthers. We're picking number, what, 24? I've lost track now. Picking number 24 overall. Who is going to be your selection for the Carolina Panthers in the 2018 NFL draft?
Wow, that was really formal. I feel a lot of pressure now. I feel like I'm on a podium. Justin Reed, Stanford safety, with the 24th pick in the 2018 NFL draft.
So why Reed? Yeah. Why just a couple of things. I know you talked about a little bit.
I'm heartbroken.
You touched a little bit on some secondary concerns, but – what about Reed specifically? I mean, it put him into this defense. Is it just a younger, faster thing?
That's part of it, yeah. He's younger, he's faster. They need a guy. Something Ron Rivera said to me right after they released Kurt Coleman really was striking, and it makes a lot of sense with the locker room the way it is now. They need a guy that can step in and be not only a day one starter, which I believe Reed could do and could do solidly, especially in the NFC South, matching up against some of these bigger receivers and these more prolific tight ends and containing pass catching backs, all those things that are so important six times a year. But he also is, Rivera needed someone who can come in and take a leadership role on the first day of rookie minicamp, essentially. Justin Reed is that guy, really hyper intelligent dude, and very, very good at the way he sees the field. And I know, you know, there are some things that I think they are concerned about. Can he play true center field safety consistently? Is his coverage and his technique consistent enough? Those are things that I think you can shake out a little bit when you're in the fall, in the spring, in the fall, when you bring the rookies in. Justin Reed kind of had to do it all in college. And I think when you get him a chance to kind of hone in one position, one field, I think he'll really excel. And this is the kind of guy who could be a franchise player as well. He just has a personality for it. I think he'd be good for that locker room as well. And I just think he'd be a great pick.
Yeah,
I know John's hurt because John wanted him to Pittsburgh. Yeah,
100% agree with you. I agree with everything she said, and it just makes him more painful because now I realize he won't be a Pittsburgh starter,
right,
which is difficult for me to accept, but that's part of life. But Jordan, thank you so much for taking the time. Great pick and great talking to you about the NFL draft and the Panthers fans. We appreciate you coming on the show.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Cameron Wolf coming up with the Tennessee Titans pick when we come back on the clock. Until then, you keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.